And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of verse number 21. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart for his name's sake. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Let's all just take a moment at this point in the service. Seek the Lord and ask him for his help as we come now to his word. Let's all pray. Let's all seek him. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we do thank thee again that in Jesus' name and by his blood, we can approach again to the eternal throne of God and of grace. And how we bless thee for our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And how we thank thee, Father in heaven, that right now he's praying at thy right hand. We bless thee that he's praying for this meeting. We thank thee, Father in heaven, that he's far more concerned about the affairs of it than we are. And yet, O God, we come to thee, fully aware of our great need of thee and the movings of the Spirit in this gathering. And we pray, O God in heaven, that thou would remember us, not for our much asking, but for Jesus' sake. We pray, our Father in heaven, that a stillness will come across this company of people, a stillness of God and the movings of the eternal Spirit. We pray, our Father in heaven, for the paralyzing of all the lies of the devil and the movings of the devil. And we pray, Lord, that the blood of the Lamb will prevail. And by faith at this juncture, we stand into the victory of the cross. And we rest under the wounds of Christ. And we pray, our Father in heaven, that thy mighty arm will be made bare. And that tonight in this meeting, trouble of soul will come upon those without an anchor for their soul. Convict of sin, lead to Jesus' blood. Grant us the movings of the Holy Ghost among us. Lord, that is our prayer. We need the movings of God. And Father, I confess my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. And thou who knowest all hearts, knowest that I lie not. And I pray, O God, that thou now would come. Empty me of self and sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and with power, and anoint me by the Spirit. O God, remember me on your throne, for I need to be remembered. Hear prayer, we pray, and bless this service. Extend the kingdom of God and of grace and of Christ. Extend it in this meeting. Extend it in our sister congregations. May this be a night across our province when God will break through, and God will come suddenly to the church which Jesus died for, and bless her with a breath from heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want tonight, by the help of God, to walk with the patriarch Jacob as he takes his journey into the final moments of his life. For Jacob in Genesis 48, there are no more Peniels. His days of wrestling and prayer is drawing to a close. His race is almost run. I want to look tonight with the help of God at the final moments of a man of God as he gets to the brink of heaven. Verse 1 tells us Jacob's health is gone. We see it there in those words. And one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. He's sick. He's in his bed. And we read in verse 2 that as Joseph and his sons gather around him, and they enter into where he is, and they're gathered round Jacob's bed. But I want you, dear people, to see where Jacob begins to speak with them. Here he is. He's upon his bed. He's ill. But look at verse 3 with me. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He takes them to that place where he was converted to Christ. He takes them to that place where he came to faith in Christ. It's the night that that supplanter, that schemer, that man that could never have been trusted, and he came and he met with God, and God saved him. It's recorded in Genesis 28. There's where he takes them. He's on the brink of heaven. He casts his mind back to the night that God saved him. There's where he takes them. He takes them to that land of loss. He takes them to Bethel, to the place he saw the vision of the ladder, that ladder that would lead him to heaven, that ladder which was Christ, a picture of the great mediator. That's where he took them. Takes them to the night he saved. God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me. There's where he takes them. He tells them also of his wife's death, that Rachel had gone on before him. He blesses Joseph. He blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. He tells of God's faithfulness to him all his days long in verse 15. And in verse 16, he speaks again of the angel that redeemed him the night he was saved. He declares it all to them. Paul tells us in Hebrews that by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, worshipped, leaning upon a staff. There he is, on the verge of heaven. But dear people, tonight, with the help of God, I want to look with you at verse number 21, to these words that Jacob said, really just three words. Behold, I die. Behold, I die. That's what I want to look at you tonight with. As a congregation, I want to look at it together, especially you dear people in this meeting who aren't saved. I want to look at it with you. Behold, I die. You who are backslidden. I want to look at it with you. There's no way to meet God in a backslidden condition. There's no way to meet him. Let's look at it together. Behold, I die. Behold, I die. First thing I want to show you is this. The emphasis of the declaration. The emphasis of this declaration. The statement without the word behold would have made as much sense. We could have read it, and Israel said unto Joseph, I die. The statement without the word behold would have revealed the same truth. I die. But I want you to see, dear people, tonight that the word behold there is in our English Bible to cause us just to pause and to take note and see what the Lord is saying to us through it. There's emphasis here. And can I suggest to you that the emphasis in that word behold is this, that what has happened to Jacob is personal. Behold, I die. It is personal. He's now saying, it's my turn. He's now 147 years old. He has lived many years. He has buried many people. Undoubtedly, he has attended many funerals. And now he says, behold, I die. Behold, I die. Jacob knows his time has come. We all understand tonight in this meeting that in the world in which we live, sometimes there are tragedies. And cities and nations can be plunged into great sorrow as multitudes of people can lose their lives together. We all understand that. And we mourn with them. But in the usual line of things, dear people, it's one by one. Behold, I die. Nobody can work out the order. We're looking at this tonight as a congregation. Nobody can work out the order. It's one by one. And what Jacob is saying here is this. It's my turn. It's my turn to die. There are many things congregations can do together. This isn't one of them. Dying is personal. Behold, I die. Behold, I die. It's personal. But dear unsaved, I want you to grasp this. As we sit here tonight in this meeting, the Lord is drawing our attention to this. And that little word, behold, it's personal. It's one by one. And as we sit here in this meeting tonight, a company of people, sooner or later, the shadow of death is going to come upon someone. There's no way of working it out. You can't work out the order of this. God sets it. But God has ordained, just to take it as a congregation tonight, that someone here, sooner or later, it'll be your turn before the rest of us. Because Jacob says, behold, I die. It's my turn. It's my turn. Sinner, what if it's you? Say there's 500 people here. Soon it'll be 499 of us left. What if God has ordained, sinner, you're the next? He's ordained it for someone. Behold, I die. Backslider. What if it's you? Your house isn't in order. You've lost out with God. You're cold and indifferent towards Christ. There's no way to meet Him. You don't want to meet God like that. You want to meet Him as Jacob met Him. Redemption and the theme of redemption in his soul. Speaking of Christ. That was his theme right to the end. Backslider, what of it's you? Sinner, what of it's you? You don't want to meet God in your sin. God draws their attention to the personal emphasis here, the personal nature of this. Behold, I die. Well, you notice something else that's emphasized here, the finality of it. Behold, I die. What is death? Death is the separating of the soul from the body. It brings life to a close as it is this side of eternity. Brings the curtain down, as they say. As you're leaving the earthly stage, Jacob said, behold, I die. It's final for the believer. It takes him from all sin, from all sorrow, from all pain, from all disappointment, forever with the Lord. But dear sinner, it's final for you. It's final for you. Because it means you've had your last hope of ever being saved. It means in that death, your last opportunity of ever being saved is gone forever. Speaks of finality. And yes, it takes the believer from sorrow and sin and from pain and into the everlasting arms of a Savior's love, never to feel Him again, never to handle situations badly again, never to know what it is to grieve the Holy Ghost. But my dear friend, what does it do for you that's not saved? It plunges you into the depths of hell to sin more and more, because men sin in hell more than they ever sinned on earth. That's where it plunges you. The finality of this statement brings the curtain down. Your earthly pilgrimage is over. Takes you into eternity with Christ, if you're saved. Without Him, if you're not, sinner, say it. Pause as God tells you to pause. Pause and consider the emphasis here. It's personal. It's final. Brings the curtain down. No rerun. You've left the world. The emphasis. Secondly, I want to show you this. The reminder of sin by this declaration. Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die. It's the great reminder that the world has changed from when it was created. You see, whenever God created this world was deathless. Man was not made to die. But as God told Adam the first day, the first time in the scriptures that word die is ever used, Genesis 2:17, you don't even have to turn to it, you all know it. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's the first time it's mentioned. And God mentions it in direct consequence of sin. It's the great reminder that we live in a fallen world, that we're in, we were born into this world in our sin, rebellion, disobedience, wickedness. Oh, dear friends, see it tonight. Behold, I die. It reminds us of the fall. It reminds us that Adam lost his robe of innocence, that he ruined paradise, that he fell before a devil. And dear sinner friend, we fell with him. We fell with him in his first transgression. Turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Let me show you another text with this word, behold. Psalm 51, verse 5. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I want you to see this here. In Genesis 48, it's Jacob leaving the world. In Psalm 51, it's concerning David coming into it. But the word again's there, behold. And the Lord again is causing us to pause and look at this. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Again, it doesn't change the meaning. But it's there for emphasis. It's there, dear unsaved friend, that you might see, that you might just stop and take note of the way you entered this world. That is exactly what God wants you to see there. And the reason he wants you to see it is this. Because if you never grasp in your soul how you entered this world, it is 100% certain that you're going to go out of it wrong. If you never grasp how you come into it. How did you come into it? You come into it as a rebel against God. In your sin. Cut off from God. In rebellion. In wickedness. With your face towards eternal ruin. With your face toward hell. Dear friend, you are in your sin. And you were born in that sin. And God is stopping us again. Pause. See how you come into it. Because if you never grasp how you come into it, you're never going to leave this world right. Never going to leave this world right. You're in your sin. You're without Christ. That little word, sin. And the world hates it. Because they love it. And dear sinner friend, in this meeting, you've got to grasp this. You come into this world in sin. Without Christ, you're still in your sin. And if you die in your sin, you'll perish. You die in your sin, you are damned. You die unforgiven, you are unforgiven forever, forever. My dear friends, see this. You come into this world in your sin. Cut off from God, on your road to eternal ruin, on your road to Christless hell. See it tonight. Your sin. It's your sin. You're a lawbreaker. You're without Christ. You're without hope in this world. God knows all about your sin. See that? He knows all about it. The darkness of it, the open and brash, whatever it is, drunkenness, immorality, taking God's dear name in vain. I have to say, the world we live in. Just think about it. Taking God's dear name in vain. One word in this world of ours, let's get it clear, this is what they believe. One word in this world of ours raised against Muhammad, and the whole Middle East erupts. Whoever he was. They're going to declare war on the world. And yet men curse Christ. And they curse God. I tell you, dear friend, it is sin. It is wickedness. It is against God. And God is showing you, dear sinner friend, the way you come into this world. You come into this world in rebellion. Part of a bankrupt race. Cut off from God. In your sin. Oh, sinner friend, see it. The awfulness of your sin causes God to abhor man. Causes man, as this meeting continues, to be perishing. Yea, even as this meeting continues. Sin. Jacob's word reminds us of that. Behold, I die. It's a fallen world. But I want to show you something else. Go back to Genesis 48. Genesis 48. The assurance of this declaration. Jacob said, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. What Jacob realized was this, that though his race was run, yet the work of God would continue. Because he said, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Jacob's here on his deathbed. He's facing it with assurance. Sinner friend, let me ask you. If this was your deathbed, would you face it with this assurance? He's already spoken to us earlier in the chapter about his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. Jacob knows where he's going. He's going to be with the one he wrestled with at Peniel. He's going to be with the angel that redeemed him. He's going to a reuniting in heaven. That's exactly where he's going, and he knows it. Because the next chapter tells us that when he did die, he was gathered unto his people. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Because the Lord bears witness to this. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. Moreover, he said, here's the Lord speaking to Moses. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And here's the Lord Jesus speaking in his earthly ministry, and he's speaking to the Sadducees. And I want you to see what he says to them. Matthew 22, verse 32. Matthew 22, verse 32. I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. What was God, what was the Lord showing us there? Well, he was showing us many things, but I'll tell you one thing he was showing us. He said in the present tense, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Christ is showing us that there was a family united in heaven. There's a grandfather. There's a father. And there's a son. And Christ is telling us they're there with them. They're in glory. They're in glory. Now I said at the outset, we're looking at this tonight as a congregation. A band of people. And my desire and the desire of every believer in this meeting is this, that there's a reuniting in heaven. Of everyone gathered in this meeting tonight,
But I'll tell you this right now. If God, if it all ends now, if Christ returns now, we will not all be in heaven. Because some of you are not ready. Some of you are not ready. That's our desire, a reuniting in heaven. Let me ask you, dear lady, will you be with your husband in heaven? Or husband, will you be with your wife in heaven? Parents, will you be with your children? Children, if the Lord comes now, will you be with your parents? Will we all meet on the beautiful shore? Let's face it head on. Will we all meet on the beautiful shore? Or won't we? Let me ask you a different way. Dear sinner friend, what's the devil offering you that's better than heaven? What's he offering you? What sin is keeping you from Christ? There's something. What's the big attraction with hell? What's the big attraction that keeps you on this path? And you know as well as you're sitting here that the path you're on terminates at the gates of hell. Sinner, what's the big attraction? We've got to face it. What's keeping you from Christ? I don't think there's anything sadder in the Bible than to read of those who heard preaching, heard a word from the Lord, and to know they perished. It happened to Judas. It happened to Absalom. It happened to Cain. But dear people, see this. These things are written for our learning. That the Lord makes it clear that preaching saves nobody. I mean, listening to it. Bible's clear. Hearing preaching gets nobody to heaven. Going to church gets nobody to heaven. Going to Christ takes sinners to heaven. That's how to get to heaven. Christ takes us to heaven. And sinner, I want you to understand this. That if you're ever to be in heaven, you need to get to Christ. It's time to repent and believe the gospel. It's time to turn from sin. It's time to get rid of it. Whatever it is, whatever it is, get rid of it. The mates, the drink, whatever it is, whatever's taking you to hell, get rid of it. You've got to get rid of it. This text in Genesis 48, it shows us the personal nature of this. It's one by one. Behold, I die. It's my turn. And it's somebody's turn next in this meeting. We're not all going to live forever. We all understand this. God has ordained that someone in this meeting will go before the rest of us. And sinner, what if it's you? What if God has ordained that for you? That you're next? See the challenge here? As I close, the emphasis is in this. It's personal, and it brings it all to a finality. Jacob's assurance was he was going to heaven. But dear sinner, your assurance is this. You die out of Christ, you're going to hell. And I'm only telling you that because that's what God said. And the challenge of the text is this. Behold, I die. The challenge is this. It's time to get ready to do it. It's time to get ready to die. We've got to face it head on. And realize that this subject, this matter is not going away. I was traveling home there a while back on an aeroplane. I was sitting beside a couple. And I was reading my Bible, and then me and the girl got talking. And she said to me, well, you know, people are really a bit more sensible nowadays. And we don't really believe this anymore. And we think things through better. And, you know, people nowadays just don't believe in God. We have a wee bit more intelligence. That's what she said to me. And we don't believe in heaven and hell. Listen! Whether, and this is why I told her, whether she believes in heaven and hell or not doesn't change the fact there is a heaven and there's a hell. Whether she believes in judgment day or not doesn't change the fact there is one. And sinner, whether you want to face this or not tonight, you're going to die. And the emphasis of this message is now, get ready to do it. Because God ordains it, and you and I have not the slightest idea when it's going to happen. But God tells you to prepare to do it. And prepare to do it now. How do you prepare? Go back with me to Genesis 48. Look with me at verse number 16. Genesis 48. Verse number 16. Jacob said, the angel that redeemed me from all evil. Sinner, see it. Look upon the one. Is it a seraphim? No. Is it a cherubim? No. It's the angel of the covenant. It's the Christ of God. It's the one that redeems sinners. It's the one that Paul told the church in Galatia, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. My dear friend, the one that redeemed Jacob is the redeemer of sinners. It's the Christ of God, and you must get to him. That's how you prepare to die. You get to Christ. Redemption takes us to Calvary, takes us to a cross, takes us to where Christ died, shed his blood, purchased eternal redemption, satisfied divine justice, turned away divine wrath. But sinner, if you never get to him, behold, I die, you perish. The challenge of the text is this, it's time to get ready to die. That's the challenge of the text. Sinner, don't lose your soul. Don't lose your soul. Lose whatever you want, but don't lose your soul. I visited a few friends of mine. Ran about with them for many years. Visited them some time ago. We were sitting, chatting. Old friends. Subject come up about dying. I said, you know, there'd be nothing more awful for me than for something to happen to you. And 3 days later, me to be honest with it. And carry your coffin. And this thought raging in my soul as I do it. I hope they just haven't spent 3 days in hell. Now I know that they didn't ever want that to happen. And I don't want that to happen. But sinner, don't be deceived here. You die out of Christ. This is the challenge. You die out of Christ. When your funeral is taking place on earth, your soul has been belching through the fires of eternal hell for 2 or 3 days already. And we're leaving you reverently and with dignity and respect and to Mother Earth. And you've been perishing for 3 days already. Sinner friend, with all the love I have in my soul, and I wish I had more, it's time to get ready to die. It's time to get ready. And it's time to get ready now. Because if the Lord tarries, we're all going down this road. Every one of us. And somebody here is going first. And that's all together in the hands of God. And when we grasp that, sinner, is it not time to take the step? Repent, believe the gospel. Jacob's death took him into the arms of a Savior's love. The one he loved on earth, he went to be with him in heaven. Sinner, it's personal. It's one by one. It's final. You have no assurance of heaven. And the challenge is this. It's time to get ready. It's time to get ready to die. And may God give you grace to get ready now. For his name's sake. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our Father in heaven, these matters are not easy to deal with, and certainly not easy to preach on, and yet it's here, it's in the book. And O God, we cry to thee, and our prayer is a simple one. But O God, I cry for every head bowed before thee in this meeting, that as a company we'll meet on that beautiful shore, and all will be gathered there. Work in hearts, Lord. Convict of sin by the eternal Spirit. Unite homes tonight in God and in grace. Do your work, Lord. Even in these final moments, deepen the trouble in the soul. Oh God, hear prayer. Thank thee, Lord, that we have thy invitation. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Lord, grant grace tonight. Grant repentance towards God. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear prayer now. In Jesus' name. Amen.